Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Pete Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lucas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who are wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today myself, Jay and Busta, will go over the weekend's 2-1 victory over Kilmarnock, look ahead to this weekend's trip to Aberdeen, and we'll cover whatever else takes our fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, how's it going?
Aye, not bad.
Very good, thanks.
Good stuff. Well, Jay, a bit of a rarity this season that we get to record the podcast and look back in a victory, and it was so needed, wasn't it? A very difficult first half where the team basically lived up to their previous performances, a very poor first half, and we went in 1-0 down to a Chris Boyd goal. Second half it was completely changed, a double sub at half time as well. It just seemed to reinvigorate the team, and they went on to produce possibly one of the best 45 minutes they have managed to do this season and come away with a vital 3 points.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing how things change in football in such a short period, because, you know, we recorded the podcast last week on the Sunday and it was obsolete within, you know, just over 24 hours with Mark McGee going. So it's been, you know, quite a hectic week or so since. Getting into the game on Saturday, I don't think anybody really knew quite what to expect. On the one hand, we were just off a couple of absolute doons from Aberdeen and Dundee. The Dundee game in particular was just horrible in that first half. So to go to a place like Kilmarnock, they seem to be up, you know, on a wee bit of a upturn in form under McCulloch. So it was always going to be a difficult place to go. But then on the flip side, you know, with McGee going, sometimes you get that reaction. It was also a place that we picked up 3 points in the first game of the season. So I think most Motherwell fans probably went to Rugby Park just, you know, waiting to see what happened. And you're right, first half wasn't the best. Perhaps not quite normal service resumed, but it certainly didn't look as though there was, you know, a massive reaction from McGee going. But you're right, the changes at half-time seemed to work well. It's amazing what happens when you have someone in the dugout prepared to make changes early on. But, you know, it worked. The second half was good. I think there's still one or two games this season, perhaps, where we've looked a wee bit better in terms of a half of football. But I thought that overall we were worth the 3 points. We worked hard. We got a little bit of luck. That's something we've not had in the last couple of months. But we got a little rub of the green here and there. Samson had a fantastic save at one point. Obviously, in the first half, Killeef hit the bar. There was a bit of justice done, obviously, in the last minute when, you know, it's just never, ever a penalty. And Boyd, obviously, you know, make sure that justice is done by hitting the post. So, overall, a fantastic 3 points, particularly after such a terrible, terrible result against Dundee. Doesn't mean that things are particularly on track. It certainly doesn't mean that we go to Pittodrie now on Saturday expecting a win. But I think it at least, you know, it reminds us what it's like to win a game of football, and it shows that we still have the players capable of grinding out the results that will keep us in the division.
Yeah, but that's not really very impressive that I managed to miss the fact that Mark McGee resigned in the opening to that, as sort of sacked in the opening to the podcast there. should be docked my wages for that. But that was the main talking point going into the game. How would Stephen Robinson, Stephen Craigan and James McFadden have the team up for Saturday? And I think Robinson, well, personally wouldn't be my top choice for the job. He's certainly impressed in the way that he did change things around, and it had a direct result on the outcome of the game as well, didn't it?
It did, yeah. You know, I think the starting lineup was probably as expected. I don't think MD would have called it any different. But as you said, you know, the first half was pretty dire, to be fair. I've got my doubts about Chris Boyd's goal as well. He seemed to be offside, seemed to use his hand to control it. He seemed to pull the shirt off. I think it was Hennigan or McHugh. I can't mind who it was now. You know, but, you know, he's poked it in the goals and it's been given. That's all that mattered. But the first half was shocking. And then something that we're not used to this season. There was changes, and as you says, it's worked out really well for us. Scored a couple of, well, the first one was a bit scrappy. Second one was a good cross and a good header. And as Jay says as well, you know, it was never a penalty, to be fair. It looks like it was a shocking decision. I've not seen very many replays of it, but I wasn't convinced. On Saturday, and anything I've seen up didn't convince me either. And the one thing I liked about the penalty miss was the wee mind games that we played before it. A couple of keepy uppies by the goalkeeper, picking the ball up when it was on the spot, and that taking the easy bookings. You know, it's whether or not that affected Chris Boyd, we'll never know. But you know, he's blasted it off the post, and you know, as you say, we've actually managed to come from a goal down, grind out a result. It was a bit frightening when we were trying to defend, you know, the one goal lead with 5 minutes to go by running the ball into the corner with so long left in the clock. But as you say, it was a good result. We ground it out. Whether or not Stephen Robinson's the man for the job, I don't personally think so myself either. You know, I've no doubt in his ability as a coach or as, you know, as an assistant manager. He seems to be very well thought of, but I don't know if he's going to be the man to, you know, take us on in the long term.
Yeah, Jay, as I was saying, a lot of the chat going into the game was regarding Mark McGee's departure from the club. Sacked last Tuesday following a board meeting on the Monday night. I think we spoke about it in quite a lot of detail on last week's podcast, that it seemed like the writing was on the wall. I think we all hoped that the Motherwell board would act and replace the manager. They have done that. It just seems like we've been, despite not having recorded a podcast, we've been talking about it for a week solid, so that's maybe why I glossed over it in the intro there. But my personal view on it was that you don't want to see your manager sacked, basically on the back of the reasoning for that. It would be that if your manager's sacked, it normally means that the team are doing poorly, and that was certainly the case with McGee. But I think that kind of instances and circumstances since the turn of the year basically left the club with a very big decision to make, and I think in the end they got the right one made.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think we were all kind of in agreement when we recorded the podcast last Sunday. And as you said, you know, it was a wee while before the decision was actually made. But I think we all kind of agreed that the scenes, you know, when you're going along the Fir Park and or any football ground, and there's pressure on the manager, there's questions being asked of the manager, and when you get a game where in the first half performance you're losing 5-1. To Dundee, and you get that reaction from your own support. When you get people walking out en masse, when you get people protesting, when you get some of the chants that we heard and the booing, you know, the team being booed out, you know, at the start of the second half and things like that. When you reach that point, it's game over. It's as simple as that. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we were still talking about whether Mark McGee was going to be given a new deal or not in the summer. And let's not kid ourselves, Mark McGee's a manager who's been, you know, been given that pressure and those questions directed at him since he first came in, because, you know, there was history there and he was a divisive figure. But it's slowly built since the summer. And once you get past that point, once you get to the point that you have those that reaction from your own support. And it went from being, you know, a vocal minority to, you know, the majority. You know, it was massive sections at the Fir Park, you know, chanting and booing and making their feelings known. And once you get to that point, it's a question of when rather than if. And therefore, the decision to be made, I would assume, wasn't necessarily, does Mark McGee go? It was more, when does Mark McGee go? And does it benefit, you know, the club to do it this week? And I think you've got to say it probably does, because everything that went on, you know, the atmosphere just was poisonous at Fir Park. You had the whole viral video thing at Pittodrie. And I know that an isolated incident, there's not really, it's not particularly bad. It's quite funny. But, you know, when that's an added ingredient to the sort of ongoing McGee saga and the sort of circus that kind of followed him a little bit, about when it came to post and pre-match interviews and just everything, it was all kind of building up. And I just think we got to a point where, you're right, the decision had to be made. The results that we've got recently, you know, at Pittodrie and against Dundee were just unacceptable, regardless of who the manager was. But when you factor in the, you know, the added ingredients of Mark McGee's tenure at Motherwell, and the reaction from the fans, there was only ever one correct decision for me, and I think we've made it. And of course, that now throws up, you know, a massive question on what the next decision will be, because I think that when you look at where we are in the division, yes, the Kilmarnock results bought us some time, but we have got the ability to capitulate this season, you know, more so than I think any other team in the league. When we play, you know, well, I think that we're better than the likes of Inverness and Accies. But when we play poorly, and when we have the mentality or the lack of kind of strength and the lack of strong mentality to deal with you know, pressure or whatever it is, we look like easily the worst side in the league. You know, very few Scottish football sides will go and get beat, you know, 7-0, 6-0, 7-2, 5-1 against Dundee and stay up. It doesn't tend to happen. So the potential for relegation is still there, and I think that's what makes this such a massive, massive decision, because Mark McGee coming in has divided the support. There's still a lot of kind of aggro, there's still that kind of, not poisonous feeling, but I think that a lot of the connection that was maybe there between the fans and the club, you know, under McCall for long spells, I think has dissipated quite a great deal. And so the next couple of months are absolutely massive for Motherwell. We've just had fan ownership come in. And if we pick the wrong appointment and things don't go well and we do find ourselves going down, it's a big, big deal. So there's a big decision on our hands, and hopefully we can make the right one. But, you know, in terms of McGee's future at the club, I think it was absolutely the correct decision. And I think you just need to look about, you know, I'm not suggesting that social media and forums and Steelman Online and stuff like that are, you know, a good example of the overall supporters' opinion, but I've not seen anybody suggest it was the wrong decision. Even those who were perhaps supporters of McGee or perhaps felt they should at least get to the end of the season, I think have kind of put their hands up and sort of said, well, you know, after the 5-1 at Dundee, I'm quite happy for him to go. So I think we've made the right decision. It's just now a question of whether we make the right one in terms of his replacement.
Buster, we'll take a look at some of the runners and riders for the new manager's position. At the moment, the favourite is Morton manager Jim Duffy, who I think, despite coming across initially as, and certainly to himself, as a very strong candidate and an experienced pair of hands, was doing a very good job at Capello just now. He seemed to be kind of, I don't know whether we'll say put off, because if he's still in the running, then I wouldn't imagine that he's ruled himself out. But he didn't seem to be very complimentary in the way that he thought that Motherwell handled the sacking of Mark McGee and put it down to fan power, and seemed to kind of not be able to grasp the idea of fan ownership either. There's the likes of Vaughan Coyle, Simo Vallecari, Robinson himself obviously will be a very strong candidate. You'd have to imagine that he will be interviewed for the job. There's a wee bit of cynicism from me in terms of the fact that they brought him back a week before Mark McGee left the club. Was it always in the club's thinking that this day might come and Robinson was a ready-made replacement? I'm not sure, but there's plenty of food for thought. The Motherwell Times today are reporting over 40 applicants for the job, so a decision to be made, and but it's got to be one that's made soon, and as Jay says, it's got to be the right appointment as well.
Well, it definitely has, yeah. As you says, you know, there's a lot of names being thrown about, the usual contenders are in there for, you know, the last two or three times as well. There seems to be some daft ones in there, like Ian Holloway. Is Ian Holloway not still on a job, to be fair, as well?
Yeah, he's a
PR, that's just in the betting, sorry, obviously, what I was looking at. But I doubt these guys are actual serious contenders. Going back to Jim Duffy, as you says, you know, I thought Jim Duffy was maybe going to be quite a decent shout. And, you know, he's obviously under contract at Morton. But, you know, the way we've been going, you know, maybe could maybe, I don't know what he's on or what it would cost to buy him out his contract, but, you know, if it's going to be the same sort of 20, 30 grand that's rumoured for the players we're buying at times, I thought it would be a good shout. I even stuck 20 quid on him, to be fair. I think it was 6 or 5 to 1. But then, as soon as the next day, basically, that article came out, and no doubt he's got people he writes the things, and he's got editors who'll probably edit it a wee bit for him, but I can't seriously see him being a contender if, you know, if any of that sort of article was, basically based on that article, I can't see it happening, because, you know, there's two members of the Welsh Society on the board. I believe that they've got quite a big input in what's going forward with the manager and things like that. So I don't see Jim Duffy being, I honestly can't see how he can talk himself around for that one, if the article there was accurate and that's what he meant. You know, there's strong rumours of Owen Coyle as well. And then, as you say, Stevie Robinson, he's come in, as you say, two weeks before Mark McGee gets the bullet. Everybody was saying, you know, it's a good choice at the time to bring him in. You know, he's experienced, as I said before, he's a well thought of coach and assistant manager. He'll come in and he'll help steady the ship. You know, it's always going to be good to have somebody with that experience giving you their advice and their input as well. Next thing you know, he's at the door, so I can understand your cynicism there, to be fair, whether or not, you know, they were looking ahead. But I honestly don't think they were, because, the Dundee game was a turning point for myself with McGee. I was always behind him. I think everybody generally was always behind him. You want him to do well, whether or not you think he's a wanker or not. You want him to do well, because that means Motherwell are doing well. But the Dundee game, even people who, like myself, you know, Big Matty and stuff, who were on the same ship as me, just saying, you know, he's got to get behind him, they've got to whatever. That was it. That was a turning point. And I didn't think we'd get rid of him, to be honest with you, but I thought it was, you know, when rather than if he should leave. And that was it, basically. But in regards to who's coming in, I believe Stevie Craigan, you know, talked himself out of the job as well. Well, not talked himself out of it, sorry, but, you know, fought up, said he didn't want it. It depends really on who's available, what you think they can do, but I honestly don't know who's going to be the choice or who's going to be the best choice. I think, to be fair, after Jim Duffy's article, I'd probably go with Owen Coyle. If Owen Coyle's interested, you know, if we can give him a decent wage or whatever, if he wants to come back up here and build up his reputation after a couple of disastrous spells away, I think he'd be the ideal choice for me. You know, I initially started on Simo Valakari as well. Just, again, I know nothing about Finnish football, but when you read up and he's won basically everything there, you're thinking, why not give him a shot? But is that maybe a bit too risky at the moment? So I think Owen Coyle's the man for me now.
Jay, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think that there's a few guys on that list that perhaps are only on the list because their reputation has suffered as a result of a few kind of ill-fated managerial roles. Owen Coyle certainly fits that description for me in terms of, you look back at his time at the likes of St Johnstone and Burnley, where he was very, very successful, but he's had some difficult times in the States, and then going to Blackburn, where it's a very kind of fragile ownership market there. So it was difficult for him, but he's now seemingly expressing an interest in the job. He's got a reputation to rebuild, as Buster says. That could maybe swing it, because for all a few bad roles will affect your reputation. I don't think it necessarily makes you a bad manager overnight.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the same could be said for, you know, a number of top class managers who just happen to take the wrong job, essentially. I don't think there's very, very few managers in the world who have, you know, a track record of just unrivaled success. You know, often there is, whether it's Louis van Gaal at Man United or whoever, there's always, you know, maybe it's just their style doesn't work with that particular club or whatever it is. You know, it tends to happen. So I certainly wouldn't, you know, automatically rule out somebody like Owen Coyle on the basis of, you know, the last club or two he's been at. I think the one that stands out for me with Owen Coyle is his spell at St Johnstone, because you're comparing like for like there. And if he can do it at St Johnstone, then I don't think there's any reason to doubt that he can't do it at Motherwell. You know, aside from Owen Coyle, for me, actually, there's no standout candidate. I've been struggling. I've almost changed my mind every time the conversations came up. I've not seen anything about shortlists at the moment, and usually the press are quite quick to announce what the shortlist of four or five is once it's kind of firmed up. I've not seen anything about that yet, but, you know, of the names that we've really heard, you know, the ones that you're kind of looking at that seem probable, unless there is a left field shout that, you know, we're not aware of yet, then it does seem to be Duffy, Robinson, Coyle, Vallecari, and possibly Stubbs, just for no other reason than he just seems to be kind of linked with a job like Motherwell. Of those five, I just don't know. I'm a big fan of the sort of young head coach, sort of forward thinking, you know, bringing a different kind of mentality and style and a bit of success to Firth Park. So I certainly would be perfectly happy with Simo Vallecari. But I think the issue we've got at the moment is, as I just said, it's quite a difficult position that we're in at the moment. A couple of wins, great. We could be pushing in the top six. But if things don't get off to a good start, and particularly with a few tricky games coming up, then suddenly we're right back in a relegation battle. And so that part of it makes me think that perhaps you do need someone with the experience of somebody like Jim Duffy to kind of drag yourself out of that. But again, Jim Duffy, who has done a really good job with Clyde and Morton recently, you know, as both yourself and Busta have said, you know, that article he wrote for The Sun, if he indeed wrote it, suggests that he seems to have some serious issues with fan ownership, which means that he certainly wouldn't be compatible with the Motherwell job. So there's certainly no standout candidate at the moment for me. You know how these things work often. You know, as soon as the shortlist comes out, there might be a name that you didn't even know was linked. But in saying that, nowadays that's quite rare. The press are usually on top of these things. And for me, I fully expect that to probably be the names that we're looking at, unless someone has submitted a really, really standout CV. So I'm really, really torn. I don't think there's any manager there that I would be gutted to take, other than maybe Alan Stubbs. I think Alan Stubbs has done, I think Stubbs has done a decent job in terms of taking Hibs to the cup final and winning a cup, and that's obviously something we'd be delighted with. But I think he's one of those managers that for some reason people think is much better than he actually is. We need to remember that he really struggled to get out of the Championship with Hibs. Obviously got a move down south and that didn't work out either, so I'm really not sure what it is about Stubbs that's seems to make him a really highly rated coach, because I don't really see it in terms of success. Out with Stubbs, Robinson probably hasn't done the greatest job at Oldham. He wouldn't be my first choice. But, you know, again, Duffy, I think, could do a good job. I certainly wouldn't be unhappy with Vallecari. As Busta says, Owen Coyle, you know, certainly would be a good name for the job. So I think we've got decent options to choose from. And obviously, it really just comes down to maybe the interviews and how the club feel that those managers are going to fit in with the whole philosophy. Because we now do have this philosophy, bringing in young players and selling players on for profit and having to work within the model of fan ownership. And that might actually play a far bigger part than people realise, because, you know, it's all very well Jim Duffy, you know, making a comment in an article, but if he genuinely feels he can't work at a club that has fan ownership, then, you know, he can't be here, and it's as simple as that, no matter how good a job he might do. So it's quite a mysterious one. I don't think there's any standout favourites. I don't think there's any standout candidates for me. If it was in the summer, I think I would be edging towards Vallecari because I think he could be a good long-term option, given the chance to, you know, get a pre-season and approach the, you know, the season ahead from the summer and kind of bed into it. I think the position we're in, you know, whoever comes in needs to hit the ground running. I think that might take it away from Vallecari. But it's interesting. I think whoever comes in, you know, it will certainly be very interesting to see how they approach the last, you know, whatever it is, six fixtures before the split, because it's a difficult run-in with some tricky, tricky games. We're seven, I think, is it 5 points or 7 points off the top six in the same? I think it's 5 points off the top six and 5 points off of the bottom. So our season could really, really go, you know, really go one or two ways here. And a lot of that will come down to the name we pick. I think for me, Stubbs and Robinson, probably not. If we are then looking at Coyle, Vallecari or Duffy, I would probably be happy with any of the three. But at the moment, probably Coyle or Vallecari just edging it for me.
Just looking at the, I'm just looking at the Sky betting, who's actually, you know, in the running, as they've called it, because of the odds and stuff. We've got Lee McCock there, who I assume is only there because he's a recently retired ex-player. Barry Ferguson, for some reason, is there. Henrik Larsson. Keith Lasley. Alex McLeish. James McFadden, who has just been overlooked to take control of the team just now, so I don't think he's going to be getting the job permanently. And then, as I said, I've got daft suggestions like Ian Holloway and, you know, stuff like that, and it makes you wonder where the bookies pull these names from. It's always one of the ones where you say, yeah, the bookies are never rang, but I think with Barakoff, nobody even heard him, never mind seen him on a bookies list before he actually got the job. So, again, I think the club have sort of maybe learned for that one a wee bit. He's been plucked for, where was it, League of Ireland, wasn't it? But, you know, it's the same way maybe in saying things like Simo Vallecari up in the Finnish League. Don't know what the standard of that's like at all. But again, he's won things there. Same as Barakoff had won things in Ireland. Is that the sort of risk that they can take at this point? I don't think so, to be honest with you. Like you said, Jay, yourself, if it was maybe during the summer and it was maybe time for a miniature sort of rebuild, that's maybe a name that I would be leaning towards. But as I say, I think, I don't know why, to be honest with you right now, but I think Owen Coyle's just got to be the guy for me now.
Yeah, that's kind of why I would lean towards the prospect of someone like Stephen Robinson taking over until the end of the season and then maybe looking to go for a more visionary, if you will, manager or someone slightly more unproven and give them a summer, give them a full transfer window to put their stamp on the team and see where it takes us. But I just would really worry about getting in a young, inexperienced manager just now, just particularly on the back of how poorly the team have dealt with difficult times this season, kind of in relation to the capitulations at Celtic, against Aberdeen, against Hearts, against Dundee, the list goes on. So I just think we need someone experienced, someone firm that commands respect instantly, not someone that maybe has to go in there and win over the dressing room. Which, that's not to say that there's any kind of rebellious figures in that will lead a revolt against a new manager if they don't believe that he merits the respect, but I just think a safe pair of hands is really required at this moment in time, particularly when you've just moved into.
I do understand what you're saying, and as I said before, you know, that is perhaps something that counts against Vallecari, but I don't see how that then counts in the favour of Robinson. I know that he's obviously been at the club as assistant to Barakoff, but he's only been back in the door a couple of weeks. He is, as far as I'm aware, he has got a lot of coaching experience, but as far as I'm aware, Oldham was his first gig at management, and that failed spectacularly. So if we're going to talk about managerial experience, it could be argued that, well, it wouldn't be argued, I think it's fact that Vallecari has more of that than Robinson. So as much as I agree that, you know, there's big question marks over someone like Vallecari because of the situation we're in, I don't necessarily see that as then an argument for someone like Robinson. It's certainly an argument for someone like Duffy or Coyle. But I wouldn't use the argument that you're using against Vallecari as an argument for someone like Robinson?
It's more in the sense that I believe that Robinson, with his time that he spent at the club and his first spell was number two to Ian Barraclough, then under Mark McGee, is already a figure that is respected around the place. It seemed to be a very popular decision to bring him back amongst the players. I think that works in his favour over Vallecari, where there's going to be no time for bedding in, basically, and Robinson's got a head start in everyone, given that he took the team on Saturday and led them to victory. So I suppose he's perhaps enhanced his odds even just slightly with that win, and we'll see how it goes going into Saturday. But he'll certainly prepare the team. Whether he will still be the man in the dugout just remains to be seen.
Well, again, just playing devil's advocate, but if you're going to bring in someone like Vallecari, as far as I'm aware, Robinson's contracted to the summer anyway. So there's certainly no argument that I've seen that would suggest that someone like Vallecari coming in would necessarily mean that Robinson leaves. You could still have that safe pair of hands and that, you know, respected character about the club, pretty much regardless who comes in, because we've, you know, as Buster says, we're in this strange situation where we've brought in a first team coach, yep. And then promoted him to caretaker rather than the assistant manager. So even if Duffy or Stubbs or Coyle or Vallecari wants to come in and bring their own assistant manager with them and replace James McFadden, there's certainly no, as far as I can see, you know, there's certainly no guarantee, or, you know, it's not written in the wall that Robinson won't be here to the end of the season, whether he gets the job or not.
Whoever actually comes in at any point this season as well, assuming it's not going to be Robinson or McFadden, they are, as you say, going to have this weird situation where they've essentially got two assistant managers. At the time when Robinson was brought back in, you know, we tried to put a positive spin on it by saying he's very experienced, well, he knows the team, he's experienced, he's a well-thought-of coach, as I've said about four times already today. But we've now got this situation where, whether it be Owen Coyle, Vallecari, Jim Duffy, they're going to come in and they're going to have essentially two assistant managers, where one of them, who wasn't the assistant manager, has been the manager for the last week or two, and the guy who is the assistant manager is still there. I believe Hank McFadden's contract's up in the summer as well, so it's a weird situation that somebody's going to be walking into. And again, depending on whether or not they want to bring their own people in, will they have to do that in the summer, or will they be able to do that right away?
Yeah, it must be a difficult one for James McFadden here, with the fact that he was assistant manager and he's kind of been leapfrogged by Robinson in terms of going straight from coach to temporary manager. So that I wonder how that's affecting the dynamic behind the scenes, because, well, if you relate it to your own working life, it would be pretty difficult to experience someone 2 minutes in the door coming in and overtaking you very quickly. I get the reasoning behind it, but I don't know. Until you actually hear it from James McFadden himself, I suppose. I'm pretty sure someone hungry, young and learning the ropes of football management, I'm pretty sure he would have fancied an opportunity at it, but it's not been afforded to him. So that must be a pretty difficult situation to deal with.
I mean, you're right. The example you said there about the fact that in any kind of job or workplace, I think that would be, you know, if you were working and your line manager, whoever it was, got the sack, and, you know, the kind of the accepted format was that you would step out in his role, but no, somebody that joined, you know, a week or two before just breached in there. I think that would probably get your back up. And I'd be very, very surprised if James McFadden isn't disappointed in that. But one point I was just thinking about there, I think, you know, the last couple of appointments that we've actually, just to kind of pick up again the idea of the likes of McFadden and Robinson perhaps still being there regardless of what happens, I'm pretty sure the last two appointments at least, they've ended up working with the previous assistant manager, and, you know, for at least a short period of time. I think Barraclough still, I think I'm right in saying Kenny Black remained, did he not? No, for a wee while? before moving on.
Yeah, Kenny Black
before
was there.
Robinson then came in to replace him. I think, you know, McGee obviously just came in and had Robinson there before Robinson then left. So the idea of Vallecari or whoever it is coming in and just having the coaching staff that are already there until the summer at least, I could certainly see, unless one of the managers comes along and one of their main demands is that their entire management team is brought in from the very start, then I don't see any issues with, you know, keeping Sunderland Robinson at the club until the summer, particularly because he is a coach rather than assistant manager. So it actually means if a manager comes in and wants his own assistant, it's not him you're replacing. So the idea of having Robinson there and having that respected coach until the summer, unless Robinson himself, you know, feels that he can't possibly stay at Fir Park if he doesn't get the job, then, you know, I don't think there's any issues there in bringing in somebody like Vallecari and having him work closely with Robinson until the summer and then allow Vallecari to bring in his own staff. But again, it's more playing devil's advocate there because I've just no idea. I think by tomorrow it'll be somebody different. By Friday it'll be Duffy. You know, it just changes with my mind every day.
I think that when Mark McGee was appointed, I think that one of the requirements would have been that he worked with Steve Robinson, to be honest with you. You know, as I say, Steve Robinson was probably under contract for a wee while yet. And I think that that's probably been when I've been interviewing people and saying, you know, how are you feeling about the job? This is who you'll be working with. This guy is going to be your assistant. I think that's something they probably would have said to the candidates at that time as well. So it wouldn't surprise me again if they said to whoever it was, these two guys have got 3 months in their contract or whatever it is left. At that point, we can reevaluate it and see how we feel then. But you'll be working with these guys for the first 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, I suppose another argument there is that it's a financial decision as well. I'm not 100% sure we can afford to be paying guys off left, right, and centre. We've got some guys guys that certainly have experience of the club. And they've got some experience of being a coach or being an assistant manager there. So you've kind of got to work with what's there for a wee while maybe. And then, as you say, reevaluate at the end of the season, because you've still got the situation at the club just now where there's no goalkeeping coach. You've just paid off the manager, albeit his contract was up at the end of the season. I'm not privy in any way to the financial details of Mark McGee's payoff, but I'm pretty certain there would have had to be some sort of compensation paid to Mark McGee. So we've just got to be careful that we're not kind of spending out with our means on the back of this decision as well. So I think that there's certain things that really need to be considered, and I'm sure there will be just now, but it's just you're a week on, and it's the kind of situation where we're expecting something to happen pretty soon. We'll wait and see how it goes. Right, to Aberdeen at the weekend, and pretty much, Jay, I suppose this is as much about trying to eradicate the memories of our last visit to Pittodrie. Despite the win at the weekend, I'm sure there'll be a few bad memories dragged up by the visit to Pittodrie and perhaps a wee bit of trepidation going into the game, but I don't think they're quite as strong as they have been in previous years, Aberdeen. I don't doubt for a second that they're a good bit stronger than ourselves, but I've failed to be that impressed by them in a number of occasions that I've seen them this season. And I suppose if we're looking for wee glimmers of light, the fact that they went to Hamilton Accies last week and were turned over, despite by all accounts having a lot of the ball and a lot of chances, but they did go and get beat. They're there to be got at. Whether we can actually do that is a different matter, though, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know what you mean, but in terms of how good Aberdeen are this season, I think it's just really, really hard to judge because they're in a kind of strange limbo this season. You've got Hearts, who have just completely, you know, bombed since Cathrill came in. Rangers have, you know, been saying it since the start, they're mediocre, and I think that a lot of teams are starting to, you know, just go at them and they just can't cope with it. So they've lost, you know, a lot of games. So the teams below Aberdeen are shit, basically. And Celtic are just absolutely romping the league because they're far and away the best team. So Aberdeen are kind of in this little sort of no man's land in second place, and it's kind of really hard to place them. They're certainly still far, far stronger than ourselves, as the, you know, the game, you know, the 7-2 game recently showed. I think to expect us to go there and turn around a result like that so soon, regardless of whether Mark McGee's gone or not, I think is would be impressively optimistic. I think, yes, the Aki's result was, you know, as great for them as it was surprising. I mean, Aberdeen absolutely dominated that game. You'd be hard-pushed to see such a game of domination. And yet, Aki still managed to grind out a result. And I think that was one of the games that actually made me think that this could be the year we went down, because, you know, as I said before, I think that when we are playing well, I think we are better than a team like Halton Aki's. But when you have a team like Aki's able to do something like that, able to grind out a result like that, and it's something that I've not seen us do this season at all. So it's possible, you know, it's football, anything's possible. If Aki's can do it, we certainly can. But I think you have to keep the 7-2 in mind, realise it's the same players, realise it's the same place we're going to, you know, a matter of days rather than weeks. I mean, we're talking about, you know, how long ago was it? 10, 12, 15 days, something like that. I mean, it's not, you know, eradicated for the memory and any means, regardless of whether the manager's changed or not. I think at least we can be confident in the fact that even if we do appoint a manager this week, it will be Robinson that will pick the team on Saturday and take the team. He'll have learned a little bit about the players he's got on Saturday. Of course, he'll know a lot of them perfectly well anyway. But, you know, making those changes at half-time, you know, whether that will be playing in his mind, whether he'll have a game plan that he can go to Pittodrie and execute, then that will be interesting to see. But for me, it might sound defeatist. I'm usually, you know, the eternal optimist when it comes to these sort of games. I always believe we can go anywhere and get a win. But I think when you're so close to a 7-2 defeat at Pittodrie, going there and just, you know, trying to make sure that you come away with a respectable performance would suit me. To go back to the same place as that 7-2 and just put in a good shift, put in a good performance. If we lose 2-0, 3-1, 2-1, you know, so be it, if we put in a good performance. And if we get anything out of the game, be it a Halton Aki-style 1-0 win or even just a draw, that would be absolutely fantastic. But for me, I'm just looking for a better performance than we saw at Pittodrie. And you could argue that, you know, it has to be. But, you know, we need to see that, because it's all very well looking at the 2-1 game at Kilmarnock and thinking that, right, great, that's us. We can now, you know, look above us and maybe push away for the relegation zone. But we've done that a good few times this season. We've got a good result, or we've got a last-minute equaliser at Aki's, and then we've just capitulated the next week. So we need to go to Pittodrie. We need to be organised. We need to work hard. And we need to just show that we still have the mentality to go and compete with a team that beat us 7-2. And if we do that, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, but it's hard to disagree with anything that Jay said there. The difficulties come when we're at a stage of the season where we've got to be looking to take points from every opportunity, regardless of how hard the games are or regardless of results in the past. I think another big element to it is that it seems that Louis Moult will also miss out through suspension. So that's a loss that we could really have done without. That's putting it very mildly, I would say.
It is, yeah. I think that a draw for us would be like a victory here, I think, to be honest with you. Don't get me wrong, as Jay says, it's, you know, it's a game of football, anything can happen, but again, coming so close to the absolute pumping we took the last time, it's hard to see anything other than us struggling. But if we put in a better performance, you know, who knows, we could sneak a point, we could sneak all three. It's all, you know, as Aberdeen found out, or the game against us and the game against Aki's, it's all about putting the ball in the net. They managed it. It looks as if they used up all their goal quota against us, couldn't score against Aki's. You know, and that's the way it is sometimes, you know. So I think that if we can get a point out of this game, that'll be absolutely fantastic. I think it was Stevie Craigan in one of the YouTube videos I watched earlier as well said something along the lines of, you know, Robinson's going to be basically in charge. So I think even if we appoint somebody tomorrow or Thursday or whatever, as Jay says, it will be Stevie Robinson. It will Stevie Robinson, James McFadden, and Craig and Arroz's assistant, I suppose. So it'll be them that'll come up with a game plan and a team, and it'll be up to if we get a new guy in by that point for him just to sit back and see what he has to deal with. But if we get a draw, I think the three of us would be absolutely delighted. And I don't think there'd be MD who supports Mullow who wouldn't take a draw to be. Oh, that's a bit of a stupid comment, to be honest with you. But you know what I mean. A draw would be fantastic. I think that's probably the best we can hope for, unfortunately.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Certainly a difficult game, but one that strangely looking forward to after a few weeks of dreading going to the football. I just think that there was a bit of a cloud lifted following McGee's resignation. That's the second time I've said he's resigned, and twice I'll have to correct myself and say he was sacked. But it just feels like there's a better atmosphere. There's a very decent travelling support on Saturday that they made a lot of noise and got right behind the team. So it does feel like the mood has changed somewhat, and it's just got to hopefully be taken into the coming games, because you look at Aberdeen away, then St Johnstone at home, Rangers away, there's no easy games in the coming up at all. And that, all coupled with the pressure of being in a battle at the bottom of the league, which I still think there's no doubt as to the fact that we are in that, very much in danger of the playoff or automatic relegation. So there's a lot of pressure on, and it's going to be a tense and exciting couple of weeks, I'm certain of that. Thank you to everyone who attended the MFC Ladies Foot Golf at the weekend. It was a kind of different event from what we've normally put on, and I think it was very enjoyable as a result of that. Had a right good laugh, particularly Busta's absolute comedy fall in the second hole, you could maybe actually talk us through it, Busta, because I'm struggling for superlatives of how good it was, actually.
Well, for anybody who's ever been to the Cumbernauld Foot Golf, the first two holes are downhill. The first one, you go off a steep hill right away after you kick your ball off. And it was at that point I realised my choice of footwear was probably pretty poor. Couldn't stop. If I put my foot down, I was, you know, in half an inch of water and just sliding everywhere. So it took me about 60 yards to stop a slow jog, basically. And then it levelled off a wee bit. We teed off at the second hole, again, a tiny wee hill, and that was it. Boom, up Mars. It was basically putting old trainers on, thinking, ah, this will be bogging a wee bit, I'll wear my old trainers, and not realising that they're obviously going to be doing me no good whatsoever on a slippy, muddy, wet surface. So I got up, I was covered in muck. I then had to basically stow about all day soaking and muddy, and it was something like 5-6 o'clock before I even got home. So it was, don't get me wrong, it was a great day, but sitting there bogging wasn't ideal.
And thanks again to the ladies who made it along on Sunday and really got behind the event. They kick off their season in SPL 2 at the weekend. I think it's Genefield Swifts to play, a 4 o'clock kickoff at Ravenscraig. So perhaps if you're not doing anything with your Sunday, that could be a good option. And it seems like the girls are very enthusiastic, Jay, aren't they, about the chances for the season. We can't pretend to know much about, or have seen much of their games, but certainly if the foot golf and the enthusiasm they had for that is anything to go by, they should do all right.
Aye, I mean, and when you factor in the under-20s, you know, getting their 3 points because their game against Dunfermline getting nulled, and now they're, you know, looking all right for the title, we're in this weird situation where just about every Motherwell team, apart from the first team, seems to be enjoying success.
Yeah, back-to-back title winners there. So they go again, and they'll hopefully have their new training kit as well for that, which was bought with the podcast quiz money, so that was good to see as well. Guys, I think that's about all we've got for this week. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers.
No bother, thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye.